Good morning. My name is Morgan Mastronardi, and it is nice to see all of you today. Whatever brings you here, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. We especially welcome our newcomers. We hope that the welcome team has found you to give you one of these little welcome packets. They are also located in the back of the sanctuary. And then there is also a yellow slip that you will find in your bulletin. Please fill out your name and address and contact info if new, and you can put it in the offering plate. And on the second side is a place to put your prayer request. So if you have a prayer, you can fill it out and then give it to the usher at prayer time. Restrooms are located through this door as well as childcare, and in the gathering room after service, we can gather for conversation after. And then there is also a safe sanctuary policy, and that just means that all children need to be accompanied by an adult at all times. All right, thank you.
Good morning, church. I'm Alicia Wood. I am the pastor here. I am so honored to be the pastor here, and I would like to say welcome. Welcome, one and all. So today, we celebrate the United Methodist Church's Peace with Justice Sunday. There are many Methodist agencies working for justice, and I'm going to tell you all of them, but I got to tell you something first. If you've been around me, you'll know that when something happens at the church, like say a light bulb goes out, I will ask, how many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? Do you know what the answer is? Let's form a committee and discuss it and then decide. So, I ask you, how many Methodists does it take to bring about justice? And so there are many, many Methodists and Methodist organizations working together to bring about justice. And I'm going to name a few. I'm sure I will have missed a few. The Commission on Race and Religion and Race, the Board of Church and Society, the Commission on the Status of Role of Women, and then there are Methodist-related organizations such as the Methodist Federation for Social Action, the Reconciling Ministries Network, and several, several others. Right today, we actually have a guest, and she is going to be talking about her experience in Palestine. And within our annual conference, we have a task force called what, Linda? Okay, the task force on peace with justice in Israel, Palestine, Israel. So just so you know, people are working on this right here. It's a long name. That's why I couldn't keep it all together. So we have a very brief video to tell you more about this. We have six special offerings through the United Methodist Church in a year. So today is one of them, and you'll hear probably more about this later, but that's that multicolored envelope you have inside your bulletin. So know that that's what this is for. So our worship theme for the next 5 weeks is Practice Resurrection. Resurrection means come to life in a new way. On May 14th, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, launched with a 40-day direct action campaign of moral fusion to awaken our nation of the four evils of systematic racism, poverty, the war economy, and ecological devastation. Six of our members have already taken a part in this. Moral fusion means that this is not a single issue movement, but a movement that calls for the release of all those suffering oppression in our nation and around the world. While not everyone chooses to participate in direct actions, the goals of this campaign are certainly compatible with our Christian teachings and remind us of the work that needs to be done. The Poor People's Campaign was launched by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years ago, just before his death, and it has been resurrected by two national leaders in our time. So our theme song has to do with this campaign. It has to do with justice, but it has been birthed out of this campaign, and so we have a video to teach us how to sing this song, and hopefully next week we won't need the video. We'll be able to do it just on our own. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so you guys are in charge of part of this song. All right, let's go.
Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on, and your response is far too long. Yes, it's gone on.
Far too long.
It's gone on.
Far too long.
Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on.
Far too long.
Now the end is, and we won't be silent anymore. We'll say that together.
And we won't be silent anymore.
Okay, and so we'll try the rehearsal version, which goes,
oh, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
Yes, it's gone on
far too long.
I'll tell you it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on
far too long.
We can't be silent anymore. Somebody is hurting our people. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in Peace with Justice Sunday call to worship. Our world is overwhelmed with suffering and despair. Our world is filled with violence and hatred. Our world is one of rife with greed and exploitation. Lord, as we gather together this day, we proclaim your power and love as the center of our being.
And in your service and praise, we embrace your vision of peace, fellowship, and
The empty cross, the empty tomb, are symbols of the resurrection, symbols of breaking down and breaking through. Please remain standing and commit with me to making this world a safe place, a just place for every person as we sing, "Christ has broken down the wall," displayed on the screen and also in your hymn.
Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall. Let us join our hearts as one. Christ has broken down the wall. We're accepted as we are. We're accepted as we are. Through God's love, all reconciled, we're accepted as we are. Cast aside your doubts and fears. Cast aside your doubts and fears. Peace and love freely offered here. Cast aside your doubts and fears. We will tear down the walls. We will tear down every wall. God has called us Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall.
In a moment, we will greet one another and share Christ's peace. When you hear the music, that will be your signal to head back to your seats as the children come forward for children's time. Now let's take a moment and share the love of Christ with those around you with a handshake, a fist bump, or a high five.
As a friendly church, it's hard to stop our peace. But let us begin to find our way back to our seats, and I would like to invite the children forward for the children's blessing.
God is speaking, do you hear, do you hear? Trust and you will hear, God, trust and you will hear, God. God is love, God is love. God is speaking, do you hear, hear God's heart? Trust and you will hear, God, if you want to hear, God. God is love. Always love.
Good morning. How are you today? Good. So today is Peace and Justice, or Peace with Justice Sunday. And so I'm wondering if anyone can tell me what they believe peace is. What is peace? Any ideas?
I know. Somebody.
Somebody what? Being nice to one another? Yes, somebody being nice to one another. Any other ideas of what peace is? Yes.
I think that peace is mean that when you love somebody or like when you love yourself and everybody else.
Mm-hmm. When you love yourself and everybody else. I don't think I have anything more to say to that. That's awesome. Okay, so what is justice? What is justice? What do we think justice is?
Like if you win a game, like justice, like...
You're thinking? Yeah. Tell me if you think of more, okay? Anyone else know, think about what justice might be? Is justice when everyone has equal everything, equal rights, equal status? Oh, what do we have to say here?
Jesus.
Well, yes. And Jesus knew justice, and Jesus taught us about justice, and that's where we get our example for peace with justice. So, one of the things we do on the first Sunday of the month, in addition to talking about peace with justice, is we collect all the things that our congregation have brought for the food pantry and for our clothing closet. So, I'm wondering if anyone would be willing to volunteer to go down the two aisles. And okay, why don't you go do that? You can go do it and bring it right back up here. Actually, we'll put it right by the baptismal font, okay? We'll put it right here. And as you do that, I'm just going to continue talking to you, and then we'll pray. So I am so grateful to our congregation because they are helping make things possible because they bring in these wonderful things. And we do ask in the food pantry not only for food, but also for personal items like toothpaste and shampoo and toothbrushes and deodorant and things like that. So, wow. We got some strong children here. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right, so will you pray with me as we bring this forward? Thank you. Look at all this. Wow. Thank you, generous congregation. Thank you, thank you. Peace with justice. All right, will you pray with me? Loving God, we pray for a day when these children here, present, know a world filled with peace and justice. Let each of us be a part of making that happen. Let these children see your kingdom here on earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you all can go sit with whoever brought you today.
Thank you.
part of our prayer time this morning, we will use the United Methodist Peace with Justice Sunday Litany. After the litany, as we sing Somebody's Hurting My People Again, the ushers will collect your prayer requests to be read out loud as a part of our prayer time. Please join with me in reading and praying responsively. Show us, God, to see you, to see as you see and love as you love. Remind us, God, of our power as your people, where children are soldiers, where mothers are abandoned, where fathers are separated from their families, where people of conscience are imprisoned, where people of faith are persecuted, where indigenous people are marginalized. Give us voices that speak your words of justice and peace.
Somebody's hurting my people, and it's God on
to love.
Yes, it's God on
to love.
I tell you, somebody's hurting my people, and it's God on
love.
And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent anymore.
Let us settle our hearts as we hear the prayers of the community. Dear God, we have named people, places, and situations that are on our hearts today. Still more are too deep for speech and remain unspoken. We hold these concerns for each other and offer it all to you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we enter a time of prayer, let us sit tall in our seats and take a deep breath to let the Holy Spirit in. We will have a period of silent prayer followed by the Lord's Prayer. And please speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Let us pray. Let us join in prayer in the way that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Your kingdom come for those who seek justice. Your kingdom come through those who work for justice. Your kingdom come as we practice resurrection. Please stand in body or in spirit and join me in singing Wounded World That Cries for Healing, as displayed on the screen.
Wounded world that cries for healing, where we hold each other's pain. Systems bruised and bleeding, bear the load, the scars of pain. Dollars ration out compassion, our decisions rule the day. Jesus
force of the healing spirit, free us to another way. Through our nation spent frustration, through the corridors of stress, may there move a kindlier wisdom. All may feel and all may bless. Tax and tithe are for a purpose, share to shield the poor and weak. Pass the symptoms of our sickness, let the voice of justice speak. Honor those whose loving spirit nurses hope, restores and heals. Towels and basins used in service, like the Christ who comes and kneels. In the tending, in the mending, may we see the right and fair. In our common quest for wholeness, heal each other by our care.
Please be seated. Today's scripture is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. If you would like to read along or read further, you can find it on page 64 in the Old Testament section of the Bibles in the pew. Moses had fled Egypt after murdering an overseer who had just killed one of his fellow Hebrews. He was living in Midian and tending sheep when his cell phone lit up. Well, actually, it was a burning bush that got his attention. But hear these words. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up.
Let me check out this amazing sight.
Moses,
see why the bush isn't burning up.
Moses. Moses.
I'm here.
Don't go any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors all the way back to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and, well, never mind. That gets too complicated. I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of the slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites all live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So, get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
Who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?
I'll be with you, and this will show you that I'm the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain.
This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
So
So I missed a prayer earlier, and I apologize. Jim Tallman received a ribbon for the 25-yard backstroke last weekend, and he wanted us all to know about that. It is my honor, pleasure to introduce Tina Whitehead. I met her and heard a little bit of what she has to say on Friday at the Palestinian dinner, and I don't know why that's doing that. Is there something I'm doing, Stark? Okay. Okay. Here's just a little bit about Tina Whitehead, who will be speaking to us. She is a Canadian and a graduate of, oh boy, how do you say that? Duquesne University with an MA in spiritual formation, and has been volunteering in Jerusalem and the West Bank since October of 2006. Her primary work has been with Sabil, a Palestinian Christian peace and justice movement. In October 2015, she helped coordinate a regional Friends of Sabil, am I saying that right? Oh, good, okay. Sabil conference in Pittsburgh with the theme, We Refuse to Be Enemies. In addition, she has worked with the Bethlehem Bible College, where she helped organize three international Christ at the Checkpoint conferences in 2010, 2012, 2016. Since the fall of 2016, she has been working as a hospitality representative in Bethlehem for an American tour company, giving lectures and helping organize dinners with Palestinian families. During the summer months, she teaches and speaks as an advocate for the Palestinian people, including teaching classes on the Palestinian perspective in the Osher Continuing Education programs at the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon University. Her husband, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Whitehead, served United Methodist churches in western Pennsylvania from 1984 until his death in 2005. And she has two daughters, Carrie and Christina, and when not in Jerusalem, lives in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. So, let's give a warm welcome to Tina Whitehead.
Good morning. You have a beautiful sanctuary. I've enjoyed the windows, and I'm enjoying spending the morning with you, so thank you for the invitation. Thanks to you, I have no idea what I'm going to say to you this morning. You've inspired me through your hymns and your liturgy already to preach at least five sermons, and I'm not sure which one I want to preach. Just to pick up some of the points, it's peace with justice Sunday, and certainly I could do a whole morning on what it means to work for justice for the Palestinian people. You have sung a song that says, God is speaking, do you hear? And we could talk about that one on so many different levels. You've sung about breaking down the walls, and I could tell you about this horrific wall that separates Palestinians from their land and from their families and from their way of life, a 26-foot high wall that's only 10 minutes from where I live, just between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And if you want to see that wall, there is a program this afternoon at 1:30, and I'm going to be doing a presentation all with pictures. So what I talk about this morning in the abstract, you'll be able to see settlements and walls and checkpoints and people, especially the people. You've sung a song that says, we won't be silent anymore. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what we need. The Palestinians need your voice, because that voice is so silent in the media and throughout the world. So I hope I can tie some of that together in a very short period of time. The reason that I chose this scripture this morning is because it's a very important scripture, I think, for two aspects. To be a United Methodist is to stand on the shoulders of John Wesley. And part of that Wesley heritage is his focus on two aspects of our faith. And one is acts of mercy, and that's justice. And one is acts of piety, and that's the holiness of God. And I think you have both of these in this scripture. You have this burning bush where God speaks. And I want to read you, this is a title, now believe it or not, I typed a dissertation a long time ago in the 80s for a Maranol priest. And this was a title of one of his chapters. Maybe the bush was burning all along and Moses didn't notice. Maybe the real miracle is when we stop and pay attention. And I think you've also had reference to that this morning too. God is speaking. Do we stop and pay attention? And so that's the first part. That's the act of piety. And sometimes we stop there with the story of the burning bush and we get all excited about this image. But the latter part of the scripture that we read this morning is really what I want to focus on. God speaks out of that burning bush to Moses and says, I've heard the cry of my oppressed people, and I'm sending you. And I think that's my call. A number of years ago, it's almost 16, 17, maybe 18 years ago now, I heard the cry of the oppressed people, the Palestinian people, and I didn't even know they existed. I didn't know their story at all. And I knew that no one else was hearing their story. And I felt a strong call to share that story. And so I felt that God was saying, I'm sending you. And the call was from the people themselves when I met them finally after four times of going to the Holy Land and not knowing anything about what was happening. I started hearing from the people and they would say, please, when you go back to the United States, tell the people that we are not what you hear and what you see on CNN. And that became my call. And I've been speaking that ever since. Twelve years ago, I made a decision to go to Jerusalem and stay there for 3 months at a time and work with the Palestinian people. And some of the things that I've done have been organized conferences, peace and justice conferences, so that people from all over the world come and hear the story. I felt that it was easier to find people there than here in the churches that wanted to hear. And I knew that people travel over there on Holy Land pilgrimages, and I knew that they go to churches and they go to archaeological sites and they come back home and they hadn't heard a thing. So I thought maybe if I could go to that part of the world, I'd be able to meet with those groups, and just for 1 hour out of their itinerary, I could share what was happening and maybe make a difference in what they were seeing. Maybe they'd see the burning bush if they just stop. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years. The people there, I don't know what you think about Palestinians. I usually ask the groups, what is your first impression when you hear the word Palestinian? And for a very long time, I only ever had one answer. And that was terrorist. It is so unfair for any people to be painted with a single brush. But these people especially are people of peace. And that's a very difficult message to get across when the media is telling you something that's totally different. I noticed that you've got a seminar coming up on false news. It's been happening for a long time. We're manipulated by what people want us to hear. And it's only in meeting the people themselves that you realize that we've given them a bad voice, and we need to hear who they are. I shared the other night that one of the highlights of what I do and have been doing is that I get to introduce people to Palestinian families in Bethlehem. They go and have an evening where they have dinner together, and it is a transformative experience for the people who go. They get to sit around the table with real people. They get to hear their stories. They get to eat their foods. And they come back to the hotel and they are just radiant. They are so excited that they've made contact with the people that they were afraid of just a few hours before. And it makes such a difference to have that contact. You know, in the tourism world, we say that you go to the Holy Land to see the stones. You go to the churches. You go to the sites. You go to the geographic places. And the Palestinians say, no, come and meet the living stones. We're the living stones. We're the people of the land. Get off the bus. Get outside of your itinerary and have a conversation with us and see who we are. Listen to the voice of God within the people of the land. There is so much justice that needs to happen in Palestine. You can't imagine what life is like there for the people in the West Bank who can't even go to Jerusalem. And you can walk to Jerusalem, but they can't. I can walk to Bethlehem from where I live. It's only 10-15 minutes, but I have to go through a checkpoint. And I have to go through the Israeli soldiers, and I have to go through the wall. But the people in Bethlehem don't have that option. They have to have special permits to come out of Bethlehem to come to Jerusalem. And those permits are very, very difficult to obtain. And every morning at the Bethlehem checkpoint, just down the street from where I live, there are about 3,000, primarily men, crammed into this checkpoint with permits, hoping that the soldiers will allow them to come into Jerusalem so that they can work, or they can go to school, or they can go to the hospital, or whatever it is they have permits to do. And then they have to be back into Bethlehem by 7 o'clock at night because they're not allowed to stay out any longer than that one time period. And then the next morning at 3, 4 in the morning, they have to do the same thing. Every single day they stand in line at the checkpoint for about 3 hours, hoping that an 18-year-old with a M16 strapped around his shoulder will allow them into Jerusalem to work. That's how they live. That's not justice. These people live in a prison. Right now it's Ramadan, and I saw signs outside your church wishing the Muslim community a Ramadan Mubarak. But Ramadan in the West Bank, you know, Jerusalem is the third most holy place in the world for the Muslim faith. And they have to have permits to go to pray. And only people over a certain age get permits. The age is lowered a little bit during Ramadan, and there's still 100,000 to 300,000 people that come to Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem to pray during Ramadan. But a lot of people under the age of 30, 35, 40 aren't allowed in. They're not allowed to come. And the lines at the checkpoint during Ramadan are just incredible because they still have to pass through all of the soldiers and the checkpoints just to come in. Somebody asked me the other night, why are the Christians leaving? And unfortunately, again, in this country, the media wants you to think that it's because of persecution of faith, that they're being persecuted by the Muslim faith and they're being forced to leave, and that's not true. They're leaving because they can't live under the conditions of occupation. It is so very difficult, and they are just like you. They want a future for their children and for their grandchildren, and that future is not in the West Bank. It's not in East Jerusalem. And so the Christians, more than the Muslims, have access to the outside world. They have connections through the church. They have connections through education. And they leave if they can. And so right now the Christian population is down to almost 1%. Think of it. That's the Holy Land. That's our Holy Land. It's the Muslim Holy Land. It's the Jewish Holy Land. But it's our Holy Land as well. And we're down to 1%. And the fear is that very soon the Holy Land is going to be a Christian museum with no living stones left to continue the faith. As I said the other night, one of the questions that Palestinian Christians just hate to be asked is, when were you converted? And they say, well, I think there was a man by the name of St. Paul that shared his faith with us about 2,000 years ago. We were the first. Jesus lived here I believe I heard that Elias Shakur spoke here years ago. Elias Shakur is a Palestinian Christian and a retired archbishop in the Galilee. And he tells the story of Jesus as his compatriot. And I love that word. They're the only people that can say that. He was one of us. He shared our land. You see, they can point to a hill and say, you know, Jesus walked on that hill. Jesus ate our food. You know those parables that you have trouble understanding? Those are our stories. And they have this wonderful connection with the roots of their faith. They're not products of Western missionaries. We're products of their faithfulness. And we've forgotten that. So I want you to hear the voice of God in the people of that part of the world. I want you to tear down the walls of ignorance. I want you to tear down the walls of fear. I want you to tear down the walls, any walls that keep you from reaching out and listening to the voice of God in those people. They have so much to teach us. I've been going back for 12 years. I can honestly say they've totally messed up my life, totally. We had a dinner the other night. On Friday night, I wish you all could have been there, a Palestinian dinner. One of the dishes is called maklube. Maklube means upside down. And it's a dish that's prepared in this large pot. It's rice and meat and vegetables. And if it's done well, when they bring this pot out to the table, it's a big ceremony, and they flip the pot over and they pull the pot up, it retains the shape of the food inside. And if that's done well, everybody cheers. It's a national dish. But I like to say that I think Jesus came to turn our world maklube, to turn our world upside down. And again, this issue of Palestine is one issue that needs to be turned upside down in your mind. Because when you read the news, you have to almost turn that news upside down to really get an understanding of what's going on. I don't know how much time I have left. A little bit? Almost? Yes, okay. I hope if you have time this afternoon, you might come by at 1:30 and see the pictures. I only have 4,000 pictures. And the course that I teach that Alicia was talking about, it's only 10 hours long. So I won't keep you too long this afternoon. But I think it's important that you see what I'm talking about. The words don't do justice to the experience that I've had. So that's a little bit of what I wanted to say to you this morning. I wish I had more time. But I really do thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning. And I hope that you will practice all of the things that you have been singing and saying and praying this morning. And that justice will be a part of every aspect of your life. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And Tina has referenced that there's a talk today, and the talk is actually in our church. So you can just go get some lunch and come on back, right? And it's just downstairs. So know that where this is located. And I look forward to hearing more this afternoon. So today, we get a reminder that we are to do justice. And we're going to get that reminder through Holy Communion. So, I just want to tell you a little bit before we get started so we can get right to it once we get through the liturgy. Everyone is welcome at this table. Know that you are welcome at this table. At this table, you will find many things: love, grace, peace. But you'll also find gluten-free only bread and grape juice. So know that that's what the elements are prepared with. Will you join me? The Lord be with you. Let us open our hearts to the love of God. Jesus invites all who believe in his reign of justice and love to gather around this table and be fed in body and spirit for strength on the journey. As we prepare to share in this holy meal together, may we confess before God and one another our need for grace. God of peace, we know that we have tarnished your vision for this world. You have called us to a way of love, loving you and loving our neighbor. But we have strayed, seeking our own version of justice instead of the one you have for us. We have fought with one another. We have not worked for peace. We have not done what you require of us. Help us, O God, to seek instead of your way of justice and loving kindness as you usher us into your presence. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. You gave us a vision of a peaceable kingdom in the Garden of Eden, where man and woman were united to serve you. Instructing your people through the prophets to be united with one another, seeking peace. Showing us a different way of living in community through Jesus Christ. Loving God, you have invited us time and time again to do what is good and right in your sight. To live the way that you intended us to live, in a community of peace and wholeness. You have given us every opportunity to return to you and embrace your vision. We witness to you now, joining our voices together in remembering your reign of peace, love, and justice as we join in the angel's song of thanksgiving. Holy, holy, holy are you, God who calls us by new names. All creation praises your surpassing wonders. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes to us for our sake. Hosanna in the highest. When we rejected your version of the peaceable kingdom, instead of following our own wants and desires, you sent us Jesus, who modeled for us through his actions and words a new path of justice and peace. Yet we rejected him as well. But Jesus embraces us as we share this holy meal, remembering how the night he gave himself for us in love, he took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, and remember me." After the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Remember me." And so we gather together around this table of bread and cup and remember. Remember the acts of power and loving kindness expressed through our Lord Jesus Christ as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and the cup. May they strengthen us to do what you require, to walk humbly with you, to love others, and to seek justice in the face of oppression so we might be your people, proclaiming to others your kingdom. Amen. Could I please have my servers come forward? The table is set. Our ushers will invite you forward, pew by pew. Just know that we have bread that is gluten-free, and then you can receive Holy Communion through intinction, which means you take the bread and you dip it in the big cup and then you eat it, or you can take the bread and then go a little further down to a little cup and eat the bread, drink the cup, and then put the cup in the basket. So, welcome to the table.
As our worship service ends, our service to God's community begins. There are always many things happening at the University Church, so let me just highlight a few very quickly. So we have highlighted special summer music, which means special music for summer begins on June 17th and runs through the end of August. So please email Mary in the office or the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside of the church. So if you would like to share your musical gifts, please sign up. Next is Be the Change Weekend. Beautiful Mess Ministries is sponsoring a weekend of music and mission on June 8th and 9th in Syracuse. June 8th is for corporate teams, and June 9th involves volunteering during the day at places around the city like the VA hospital, rescue mission, and women's shelters. And at 7 p.m., a concert at the right here. And then also the CNY Pride Parade. We hope that at least 20 from our church will be able to participate on June 16th. We will meet at the Solar Street parking lots, and it's at Destiny USA at 11 a.m. And for more information or to let Jean know if you are going and want to join. And then last also, in order to keep practicing resurrection at this time and in this place, we need to keep the ship afloat just as we have been doing for the past 150 years. If you are a visitor, please do know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. The ushers will collect the offering as the choir blesses us with a song. And please don't forget to put your attendance slips in. And also, if you'd like to donate for the Peace with Justice Sunday, you can just put it right in this envelope here. remain standing and join me in the unison peace with Justice Sunday prayer for dedication. Generous God, we thank you for the wonderful bounty you've bestowed upon humanity. Your gifts nourish our tired bodies, give comfort to our troubled minds, and replenish our weary souls. Accept this offering not only as a token of our appreciation for all that we have, but also a commitment to the ministries of the church, which work to bring economic justice to all. Amen. Remembering Jesus' sacrifice at the hand of the government that valued wealth for a few over justice for all calls us to act to make this world a place where justice is real for everyone. Please join me in singing For the Healing of the Nations, number 428 in the pew hymnal and displayed on the screen, and we will just be singing verse 1. To do the benediction together. Are you ready? It's going to go fast. May we who believe in community go forth and stand against poverty from NYC to Wilkes-Barre, Southside and Northside to across the world. We demand let justice ring as the justice ring. As we take a stand, let justice ring. As we claim liberty, let justice ring. Throughout all the land, let justice ring. We're all God's family. Let justice, you and me, let justice ring. Let justice ring. Amen. Go now in peace.